Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll learn how to build a catio, and we'll answer two burning questions. Why do dogs have whiskers? And why does my dog steal my things? So we'll start with catios from Adventure Cats. Catio hacks every cat owner should know. It's no secret. Cats love the feel of wind in their whiskers. They love sleeping in sun puddles and watching birds. But we can't always take our little adventurers out for a hike. And besides, not every cat is comfortable exploring the world on a leash. That's where catios come in. Catios are outdoor spaces that are totally enclosed so that cats of all backgrounds and personalities can get a taste of the outdoors without any of the risks. Why build a catio? Maybe you live in the city or in the countryside where predators roam. Maybe you have a timid indoor cat who would really appreciate some fresh air. Maybe your cat seems lethargic, bored, or anxious. Since we are not comfortable with letting our cats out without a leash, we thought a catio would be a good compromise, Jordan Hardiman, owner of two cats named Simon and Ezra, told Adventure Cats. Ezra is the adventurer of the two, but they both love their catio. Another reason to build a catio might be to alleviate stress and provide extra stimulation to cats who seem anxious. We decided to build the catio in an effort to give our Maine Coon mix, Subi, more stimulation, said Nicole Pulfer. Pulfer and her husband thought their kitty might be experiencing separation anxiety. We suspected the anxiety when he started pulling out clumps of his fur, she said. After taking him to the vet and putting him through a myriad of tests with normal results, our vet came back with the only suggestion of Subi being bored and lonely. I did a little research and Pinteresting and found that indoor cats do well with catios to help with stimulation. There are many compelling reasons to build a catio, and we're here to tell you some good news. Building a catio is much easier and less expensive than you might think. Even if you live in an apartment with nothing but a fire escape, you can make it work. Here's how. First, find the right place. Work with the space you've got. Pick a window or even a doggy door to attach your catio to. If you have a patio, deck, or balcony area, even better. You want to give your cat easy access to an outdoor space without blocking your own, so plan strategically. If you've got a patio or deck, that's an easy go-to. Some people turn their entire deck into a catio by encasing it in chicken wire and lattice. That's the setup that James Beaton, cat dad to Billy and Boo, has. Once the enclosure was constructed, I adapted IKEA shelving so that cats would have platforms to sit on and watch over the backyard, he said. For these indoor cats, the catio has made all the difference. I'll sometimes wonder where they are, Beaton says, and I go out there and they're all stretched out in the sun with the fresh wind blowing all sorts of smells their way. Can't dedicate an entire deck to your feline roommate? Susie Peterson and Richard Moore built their catio from their laundry room window onto their covered patio. With a bit of wire screen and lumber, they had a working catio in no time, and it enabled them to share the outdoor space with their cat, Riley. Moore kindly shared his catio plans with us, which are adaptable for everyone. You can download them from the Adventure Cats website at adventurecats.com. Next, decide on your materials. Plan carefully, Hardiman says. You'll save a lot of time and material by figuring out beforehand what you'll need. Also, research methods ahead of time for securing your wire or trellis for the best possible solution. We ended up using a thin spool of wire to twine the chicken wire to the wood frame. It was really time-consuming, but the staples from the staple gun were just popping out. One last thing would be to plan to have the floor sturdy enough to hold a person. We went with a quarter-inch plywood for the floor, and it was really flimsy and totally useless when it came to us trying to stand on it to work. recycle for the win. My husband built our catio out of repurposed materials from a chameleon enclosure he built for our son several years ago, Cynthia Fuller of Northeast Maryland says. He used scrap wood and screen that he stapled to the frame. The floor is made out of a pallet that he brought home from work. Fuller and her husband attached the catio to a living room window under a shady covered porch. Casper, an indoor cat who she affectionately named Catman, loves his new perch. His reaction to the catio is amazing. He loves it. Mostly mornings, twilight, and cool breezy afternoons are his favorite times. Also, when someone pulls in the driveway, he runs out to meet them, Fuller says. In the morning, he'll scratch at the blinds for us to open the window. The dog crate method. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Get a large dog crate and 2 L hooks. Skylar Pratt of Buffalo, New York, suggests. Hang the dog crate off the 2 L hooks that you put in the outside wall of the house or apartment at a height where the bottom of the crate can rest on the windowsill. If there's not enough security, you can add a piece of wood, like a 2x4, under the crate and screw that to the wall and crate for added support. Pratt also recommends drilling holes into the bottom of the dog crate for better drainage when it rains, and an outdoor carpet to make it more comfortable. Pratt's 2 cats were both used to the outdoors until they moved to the city. I felt horrible not being able to let them enjoy the beautiful weather we so rarely get in Buffalo, she said. Pratt says she barely finished installing the catio when the kitten started to sunbathe on it. They love it, and I don't feel like I completely took away their freedom anymore, she said. Finally, work with the space you've got. Remember, if you can't build out, you can always build up. This is a great option for smaller patios or areas that you want to share space with the catio. We didn't have a lot of room on our back patio, so we had to make the best use of the space that we had, Holly Johannes of Portland, Oregon said. The previous owners of their home had installed a doggy door, so they utilized that to create a catio for their kitty, Walter. The catio extends all the way to the ceiling and has staggered wooden shelves covered in outdoor carpeting that are big enough for him to lie on. We covered the outside with wire to keep him contained. We also added a human-sized door with a latch so that we can get in there and clean. All told, it costs us less than $100. After a bit of training to use the doggy door, Walter soon became the first and only pet to use it. Even his canine siblings don't know how. An office window will do the trick too, and you don't have to be a carpenter to make it work. Alicia Arciero, a Californian cat mom, 2 indoor cats, Georgie and Frankie, says she and her husband spent a single afternoon on their catio and about $200 in materials, which consisted of 8 2x4s, 3 1x2s, 3 1x4s, 2 sturdy pressed boards for the shelves and door, a tight chicken wire roll, a screen roll, a sheet of plexiglass, carpet pieces, a box of nails, and a staple gun. They went the extra mile and added shelves for Georgie and Frankie to climb on, plus a plexiglass bottom so the cats can see below them. My husband also added a door so I could get in to clean. Arciero said, in an apartment with little more than a fire escape, no problem. Emily Nodine, owner of 2 beautiful Norwegian forest cats named Mo and Olivia, decided to put their third floor apartment's fire escape to good use. She and her husband simply enclosed the space and secured the catio with easily removable zip ties and bungee cords. We enclosed the sides with chicken wire. That was the easy part since it didn't affect the fire escape functionality at all, and then created a door to block off the stairs, Nodine said. The door is secured with a bungee cord and it opens outward so it can be opened easily in the event of a fire. Finally, we created a roof made of something called pet mesh, which is just a rubber mesh material. This is also attached with bungee cords so that we can unhook it and then push it away out of the way if we ever needed to use the fire escape. Making it an adjustable catio has enabled them to comply with safety codes, and now it's portable for their next move. Finally, we installed an insulated panel with a cat door in the window. Where the access to the catio is, Nodine explained, this allows us to keep the space open year-round, as opposed to having to close it when it gets too cold to leave the window open. Now Mo and Olivia are obsessed. It's up high in the trees, so they have a great view of all the birds and squirrels that are running around up there, Nodine said, and they can watch people walking by on the street down below. They're also living up to their Norwegian name. The girls even love to be on the catio in the winter. The cold doesn't seem to bother them at all. They love to go out when it's snowing to watch the snow fall and play in it and leave little kitty footprints everywhere. Turn your catio into a paradise. Once you've built your catio, the possibilities abound. Adding shelves can give cats a place to play, climb, and nap. I used fishing line to hang some toys and put a scratching post on the bottom, Arciero said. You might also consider sprucing up your catio with some cat-friendly plants like cat thyme, valerian, and even catnip. We're sure your cats would appreciate it. Pillows, beds, homemade blankets, and even cat hammocks add to the snuggly feel and encourage cats to spend more time outdoors. And all cat owners know that something as simple as a cardboard box could become a cat's new favorite thing. Our best advice? Go for it. Whether you're spending an hour or an afternoon or an entire summer creating the perfect catio for your cat, rest assured your efforts will be rewarded. Most cats are very resilient, intelligent, and naturally curious, Arciero said. This is perfect for new unknown areas such as a catio. It is built into their nose to explore and investigate and ultimately learn that that area is an extension to their home. Hers were no exception, even though they had always been indoor cats. They were both eagerly waiting at the window pretty much all day while the build was occurring. They went right in, right away, checked it out, rubbed all over it, and took a nap, Arciero says. It was the best thing ever. Next, have you ever wondered, why do dogs have whiskers? Lynn Buzzhart, DVM, from Veterinary Centers of America, explains. Like us, dogs are mammals that are covered with hair, but there are definite differences in the hair that covers our bodies. First, most humans, except those that are going bald, have more hair on their heads than their arms and legs, while dogs have a pretty even distribution of hair over most of the body. Also, our hair grows longer on our heads than other areas, while certain dog breeds, like collies or Yorkies, have hair pretty much consistent length overall. And finally, while we may have whiskers on our faces, they are nothing in comparison to doggy whiskers. What are whiskers? Even though whiskers erupt from hair follicles like other hairs, they really stand out on a dog's body. Whiskers are coarser and thicker than regular hair and have roots that are three times deeper. Unlike regular hairs, whiskers don't cover the entire body. They're strategically located above the eyes, on the chin, and above the upper lip. The exact pattern and location of whiskers varies with breed. Unlike humans, dogs of all ages have whiskers. Newborn pups don't need to reach puberty before growing whiskers, which are among the first hairs to develop and are present at birth. Whiskers are more sensitive than regular hairs because the follicles from which they originate are packed with blood vessels and nerves. In fact, a dog's whiskers are as sensitive as a human's fingertips. So while humans' sense of touch is in the fingers, a dog touches the world with his face. What are whiskers for? A dog's face is accentuated by his whiskers. They frame the eyes, sort of like eyebrows, and emphasize the muzzle when a dog smiles. But whiskers are more than just facial enhancements. They serve as an important function. Whiskers are specifically tuned sensory equipment that guide a dog through daily activities. These specialized hairs aid vision and help a dog navigate his environment by providing additional sensory input, much like antennae on insects. Although whiskers are called tactile hairs, they don't actually feel anything. They simply transmit information to sensory cells when they detect objects or movement. When air flows over or an object brushes up against a whisker, the sensitive hair vibrates and stimulates the nerves in the hair follicle. This vibration gives whiskers their scientific name, vibrasse, from the Latin word vibrio, meaning to vibrate. Detecting subtle changes in air currents, dog whiskers transmit information about the size, shape, and speed of nearby objects, which help dogs navigate the world. Whiskers are radar sensors. Dogs are known for their great senses of smell and hearing, but canine vision is not so wonderful. Dogs see better at a distance, but have difficulty focusing on objects up close, so whiskers help them see things that lie right under their noses by constantly sending information to the canine brain. As a dog approaches something in his path, he stirs up air currents that bounce back when they hit solid objects. Whiskers detect very faint vibrations caused by these changes in air currents and act like radar detectors. In the wild, whiskers can alert a dog to the presence of prey, potential enemies, or the location of his pack. At home, whiskers help domestic dogs locate their food bowls or favorite toys at night. In other words, whisker radar can help a dog hunt at night as well as prevent him from bumping into walls in the dark. Whiskers communicate emotions. When a dog is resting, the whiskers take a break. But when a dog is active, so are they. A happy or curious dog will elevate the whiskers above his eyes, giving him that cute, wide-eyed appearance we love. If a dog feels threatened, he will flare the whiskers on his muzzle and direct them forward toward the threat. Whiskers are protectors. These sensitive hairs respond when touched by the smallest particles. When a tiny speck of dust falls on a whisker above his eye, a dog will blink or shake his head and fling it off. This reaction protects the eye, which can be injured by even a tiny dust particle. When walking outside, if the whiskers on a dog's muzzle encounter a tall blade of grass or a thorny bush, they prompt the dog to back up to avoid being scratched or poked in the eye. Whiskers also prevent dogs from getting into jams. As a dog approaches a narrow spot in the fence or a slender space between rocks or a small area between the living room chairs, whiskers help him determine if he can fit through the passage without getting stuck or turning over the furniture. This keeps the dog out of trouble in more ways than one. Whiskers need protection. A good portion of the dog's brain is devoted to processing data from touch sensors. Whiskers are very reliable touch sensors, so almost 40% of the brain's sensory area aligns with parts of the body that have whiskers. Each individual whisker can be traced back to a specific spot in the brain, which means that whiskers occupy valuable neurological real estate in a dog's body. Because whiskers are so important to a dog's ability to safely function inside and outside, we need to protect them. When petting your dog, touch the whiskers very gently along the grain. Don't pluck or pull on the whiskers, which will be painful for your dog. When grooming your dog, avoid cutting the whiskers because this may decrease his special awareness and confuse him. And also in the Why Does My Dog file, why does my dog steal objects? Also by Orden Moore, she explains from vetstreet.com. And this article is excerpted from the book What Dogs Want, A Visual Guide to Understanding Your Dog's Every Move by Arden Moore. She writes, the sight of a puppy trotting off with a sock in her mouth might seem adorable, but if your dog is a chronic object stealer, It's not all that cute. Having Fido make off with the roast you cooked for Sunday dinner or your toddler's favorite toy can be stressful for you and dangerous for your dog. Certain breeds, including Golden Retrievers, Yorkshire Terriers, and Papillons, are more likely than their canine peers to steal your things. But no matter what breed your pooch is, it is important that you put a stop to their thefts before they wind up at the vet's office with a tummy ache, or worse. What your dog wants. When your dog steals something, she wants to take possession of the object for any number of reasons. She may want to play with it because she views the object as a toy. Clothing, shoes, and children's toys are favorite items for canine kleptomaniacs. These dogs may enjoy chewing the object, tearing it, or just tossing it around. When a dog takes something that is not hers, she does not know she is stealing. She simply sees something she wants and goes for the object. If your dog steals food, her motives are obvious. Even though she may be well-fed, your dog may still have the urge to snack on people food. If she does, she will try to take anything you leave on the counter or table that smells good and is within her reach. Some dogs steal because they long for your attention. They will take something just to prompt you to chase them. These dogs know what is important to you, and they will grab the item just at the right time so you see them do it. Their great hope is that you will follow in hot pursuit. How to respond. If your dog steals things to play with, it's best to provide her with her own objects to gnaw on until she gets into the habit of playing with her toys only. Keep your laundry, shoes, and children's toys secure. Store them somewhere she cannot reach. And it is important that you keep your dog from swallowing objects that are not meant for eating. She may develop a blockage in the intestines that can require surgery. If she steals food, be vigilant about keeping edibles out of reach. Do not leave food on kitchen counters or in easily opened cabinets. If your dog is a chronic food stealer, talk to your vet about possibly changing her diet to something she will find more satisfying. If it is the chase your dog is after, stop rewarding her stealing with what she perceives as a game. Instead, teach her to bring the object back to you by calling her and offering her a treat in exchange for the stolen item. Rather than steal your slippers, she may end up bringing them to you in the end. And finally, Best Friends tells us about how a little rescue dog has made a big difference in his little life. This is called Small Dog, Big Impact, and it's written by Nicole Hamilton. Happy adoption updates are what keep people in animal welfare going, even on the most challenging days. But it's not every day we get an update on a dog adopted more than a decade ago. Recently, Carolyn Beezer brought her dog Cece to the Best Friends NCUT Super Adoption to reconnect with the organization that brought the two of them together 14 years ago. In fact, longtime readers of Best Friends magazine might recognize Cece from her photo on the back cover of in 2007. But what we didn't know was how Cece ended up helping Carolyn in ways she couldn't have imagined on the day they first met. From a hoarder to a loving home. Way back in 2003, Carolyn and her husband, David, headed out for what was supposed to be a routine shopping trip to the mall. But when they arrived, they heard a sound that's music to a dog lover's ears, barking. They decided to follow the barking, which led them to a Best Friends adoption event being held at the mall that day. Vowing only to stop and visit with a dog or two before moving on their day, they were about to do just that when they spotted a little dog curled up in the back of her kennel. She was a Chihuahua mix, as best as anyone could tell, and she'd been rescued from a terrible hoarding case where she was one of more than 100 dogs living in overcrowded conditions. The little dog was still quite scared of the world around her, which was understandable, considering that she hadn't had a very good life before being rescued. The more the Beezers learned about her, the more they fell for her. That's how they ended up going home from the mall that day with everything on their shopping list plus a new dog, who they named Cece. What they couldn't have known that day, though, was that one day Cece would play a big role in helping Carolyn stay healthy and upbeat as she navigates a scary disease. Cece's healing journey had already begun when she met Carolyn and David, but Carolyn's had only just begun. Earlier that year, Carolyn had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and she knew there would be some difficult days up ahead. David thought Cece would be a good companion for Carolyn to help her manage anxiety and fear and to keep her active, and Carolyn agreed. "I saw this frail little dog and I knew that she needed me," says Carolyn, "but I needed her too." Still, it would take time for Cece before Cece would feel completely comfortable in her new home. Because Cece had spent the beginning of her life in a hoarding environment, she lacked even basic skills like how to walk on a leash, and she was very wary of people. In fact, when she first arrived at her new home, she was so afraid she wouldn't eat. Helping Cece gain confidence and learn new skills also gave Carolyn the stamina she needed to face multiple sclerosis. By focusing on Cece's needs, she could take her mind off her diagnosis, and the bond she formed with Cece helped comfort her during the rough times. When Carolyn had surgery, Cece stayed at her bedside while she recovered. "She helped me put things in perspective," Carolyn says. "Cece overcame so much as a puppy, and knowing that gave me encouragement." It's been nearly 15 years since Carolyn and David returned home from the mall with Cece. Since then, the little dog has learned how to take up the most room on the couch, even though she only weighs about 13 pounds. Today, Cece's copper-colored coat is streaked with gray, and she moves a little slower. Now the same love and patience that was needed to help Cece adjust to her new home is coming into play again as Carolyn helps Cece adjust to the health challenges of life as a senior dog. "Cece has been a wonderful best friend over the years," says Carolyn. "She makes us laugh nearly every day with her bouts of pure goofiness. I'm so glad we found her when we did." For more information, you can visit the Best Friends website at bestfriends.org. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.